Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Shy.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, aka DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Cy Brown. I was working on a new opening this morning, so that sounded kind of funny. But anyway, it's all good. Happy Thursday to everybody. I have a lot of news to share, a lot of good things to talk about with you all today. So today is definitely going to be a good day. I hope everybody's doing well. Some quick stuff. The weather here in New York is good. It's cool. It's getting a little chilly. You could tell it's fall. I was out last night, and I looked up, and by 7:20, it was almost dark outside. I'm like, wait a minute, when did that happen? So you know I'm always talking about, you know, how time is spinning by so quickly. And I'm like, where is the time going? I think I'm missing something. But the time is going by very, very quickly. The time is going by fast. The days are getting shorter, and it's, you know, now it's time to, you know, start getting your winter gear up. I guess that's why everybody was in, everybody was at Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week here in New York City last week, and they were unveiling, like, a lot of the fall, you know, clothes and fall styles and stuff like that. There's a lot of really nice stuff coming out. I'm not really a fashionista. That's not really my thing. I'm kind of a jeans and t-shirt kind of gal. You know, wear jeans and nice pair of shoes, and I'm happy. You know, some people kind of want to do it up big. I'm not really that fancy that fancy of a person, but, you know, some people are. I put on a sweater, some jeans, and a cool pair of boots, and I'm just happy that way. But you know what? Everybody has their own style. My style is pretty easy. My friend, she moved from Phoenix to New York, and she was like, does everybody in New York wear black? And I'm like, yeah, pretty much. That's kind of a New York thing. We all wear black all the time. But, yeah, so that's enough about that. I've got some good stuff to share with you. And I joked because I said, I swear I'm not talking. I blogged about this late last night when I was watching Project Runway. I was like, I'm not going to talk about this whole economic mess that much, but I'm still going to talk about it. And you know what's so bad is that I actually put, like, a spreadsheet on my wall. So it's like now I can look – I'm looking at it right now. Like, you know how they start kindergarten, have that big – I guess it's called draft paper or something like that where it's kind of big. And I've got Morgan Stanley still open, Goldman Sachs still open, Merrill Lynch, Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns with big X's, then I've got AIG, and then I've got banks, Wachovia, WaMu, and Bank of America. I think it's – if you have an office, what is that, like an office pool or something like that where they have a betting something? I'm not a bettor, so I don't know, but I remember when I used to work, people that did engage in that stuff, they would have it like on the wall or in the back of somebody's office door or whatever. So I've got that, just so, like a scorecard, that's what it is, duh, like a scorecard. So I can keep all my facts straight, and as I learn information, I can put it up on my wall and then talk to you about it the next day. So that's kind of important. Oh, a couple things. Last night I was on Tiffany Janae's radio show. Her show is The Hip Hop Entrepreneur, and it was last night at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And if you go to my blog, liferemixradio.com, there'll be a link on it. I tried to upload it before the show, but I didn't get a chance to because I want everybody to listen to the show. We talked about publicity, how to get a publicist, how to break into the industry, how did I break into the industry. I shared some really valuable information for those of you looking to get media or be in the media. So it's just a whole bunch of good stuff. I always get text messages during the show. Doesn't everybody by now know that I'm on the air at 12 o'clock every day? I guess not, but I was just getting some text messages. So, yes, I was on Tiffany Janae's show last night, and I will be on Pam Perry's show, Ministry Marketing Solutions, today, actually. It airs at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So if you are on Blog Talk Radio, just go to Blog Talk Radio, Ministry Marketing Solutions, and you'll see Pam's show. And I will be a guest on her show. So big ups to Pam Perry. I think she's in Detroit. Where is 443? I think she's in 443. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's like the Detroit, Michigan area. I'm not sure, but I think so. So that's enough about that. I'm trying to think where I'll be this weekend. Oh, I have an event tonight. I will be at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. They're having this huge gospel event with Marvin Sapp and Hezekiah Walker and a couple other people. So I will be at that event, and that's, I'm going to be actually blogging about that for my other blog, nycgospel.com. And so I'm really excited about that. So that's Thursday. And then really my weekend is looking pretty quiet. I don't have any immediate plans unless an event comes up. I know there's a couple of other things that are happening, but no immediate plans for anything right about now. But in the meantime, I'm going to jump right into today's daily thought. And let me look it up very, very quickly. For Thursday. Oh, this is a good one. They're always good. You know, they're always good. For Thursday, September 18th. I'm quick to listen and slow to speak. Well, I don't know. I think we all kind of need to be like that sometimes. But I am quick to listen and slow to speak. There is much we can learn when we remain still and listen to spirit within us. When we are silent in the presence of spirit, we can receive the answers we need, the peace we need, and the direction we need to make the best use of our minds and our resources. Our devotional time should be divided between talking and listening. Prayer is talking to God, and meditation is listening. Just as we need to begin our day communing with God and listening to direction for our lives, we can also be attentive to others and listen to them as well. When we take time to listen to others, we can discover ways in which we can contribute to their lives and their situations. Listening is a precious gift that we often forget to give to others and ourselves. When we listen with our hearts, we are practicing the presence of spirit. I am quick to listen and slow to speak. Each day I listen attentively to God, and she provides me the direction I need for my day. I go through my day taking full advantage of the opportunity to listen to others. I don't just hear what they are saying. I listen to them with my heart and soul. As I listen to others, I discover that others also listen to me. Thank you, God, in me, as me, and so it is. And today's scripture reading comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 107, verse 30. And it reads as follows, "Then they are glad because they be quiet. So he brings them to their desired heaven." Oh, wait, I have to sneeze. Sorry about that. I couldn't help that one. I tried to hold the sneeze back, but I just couldn't. I'm going to read that one more time. Psalm chapter 107, verse 30. "Then they are glad because they be quiet. So he brings them to their desired heaven." Oh, I thought I had to sneeze again. Sorry about that. Allergies. But anyway, I'm quick to listen and slow to speak. Let's just kind of follow that advice. I always tell my kids, you know, I was in youth ministry for a very long time. I always tell my kids, that's why God gave you two ears and one mouth, because you are to listen more than you are to talk. And if we follow that, you'll be much better off. So I think we have to kind of follow the advice of that we give to our young people just as much as we kind of take it in for ourselves. So that's enough about that. Oh, I have one more thing to share with you. I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday, and I said to her, I was visiting her, and she was putting her daughter to bed. And I said, oh, you know, don't forget to say amen, because she's really little. Like, she can't really pray like that yet. But I said, don't forget to say amen. And the mom said to me, oh, well, we don't pray. And I was a little shocked, because I was like, whoa, that's surprising. And she went on to explain that to me. And I said, well, wait a minute, you have to understand, you don't owe me an explanation. Like, how you raise your daughter is how you raise your daughter. You don't owe anybody an explanation for that. But I just thought it was pretty interesting that everybody, not just her, but just everybody is so disengaged from church or disconnected from church that we would take it to the point such that we won't even teach our kids to pray. Now, I don't go to church probably as much as I should or as much as some people would like to see me there. But I still think prayer is kind of important, whether you're an avid churchgoer, whether you go on Christmas, Easter, and Palm Sunday, or you haven't been there in years. I think even the only people that probably wouldn't take the time to pray are atheists. But I did listen. I was very quiet, and I did listen to what she said, and she said, well, the reason we don't pray is because some of the most well-rounded people I know are not religious. And that's what scared me about her statement, because I think there still has to be some connection to spirit, whether you're religious or not. So that was just kind of weird to me. So I just, you know, I'm asking everybody in the chat room, hit me up and let me know what you think about that. I just think it was kind of weird how, although you're saying you're not religious, but just to not even engage in prayer, which to me almost says you don't believe in God, which in turn makes you an atheist. So that was a little scary to me. I really didn't know what to make of that one. That one was a little weird. But, you know, in any event, c'est la vie. And I just said, you know what, don't feel obligated by anybody to explain how you raise your children. How you raise your children is your business, and that's just how you keep it. You don't owe anybody an explanation. And I hope, you know, I'm sure she's going to stand with conviction on that. And you know what? Good for her. If that's how you feel, it's your kid. You have a right to raise your kid any way you want to. Oh, well, so be it. So on that note, that's enough said about that. And now you know what we're going to get into, everybody. We're going to get into a little bit of our economic stuff with Lehman and Goldman and Merrill and Morgan Stanley and Bear Stearns and AIG and all of my financial stuff, just because I think it's kind of important that we all know. And then I've got a couple of other really cool things that I want to talk to you about. I really want to get into today. I want to start talking about blogging, because right now with the situation that our economy is in, a lot of people have to really start looking into having multiple streams of income. And, you know, I've always been a proponent of that. But blogging is a very simple and easy way. And yesterday, Martha Stewart dedicated her entire show to blogging, and she talked with Perez Hilton and a couple of other really big ones. So maybe I'll even do a whole show tomorrow on the power of blogging. I'm sure I can find a couple experts willing to come in and talk about it, but I will touch on it in today's show. But before I do, I really want to talk about, what happened with AIG. Now, yesterday, I don't know if you know, the stock went down and then it went back up. Also, know that now there's talks for Wachovia to be bought. So that's something that's in the works. Both of them are denying talks. You know, all the big wigs involved. But I still think it's something that we should look into, because Wachovia is one of the top banks in this country, right next to Bank of America and Washington Mutual. I know for a fact Washington Mutual is number 4, because, you know, that's on my big wall calendar. But I'm not sure what Wachovia's ranking is. But I think, you know, as I've been saying this entire week, and I'll probably, you know, tone down all this economic talk, unless it continues to go in this downward spiral. But I think it's something that's really worth looking into, because as all of these banks are getting gobbled up, it kind of makes it for a monopoly. And that's one of the things that is the antithesis of a free market society. If we're living in a free market society, people can start and stop businesses as they wish. Private companies can start up, have their boards, and have all of these things in place. But if there's just a few to choose from, it really leaves the consumer out. When there's diversity, when there's choice, when there's options, when there's all of these things, it just really makes it better for the consumer. So just to have a couple of banks kind of scares me a little bit. But I want to touch on something that I saw yesterday, actually it was 2 days ago. Today's Thursday. I saw this on Tuesday. Right before the government bailed out AIG, the Today Show had John McCain and Joe Biden on their show, and both of them were saying, well, should the government bail out AIG? And both of them said emphatically, no way. We're not bailing AIG out. They're a private company. This is their doing. The government, we're not going to put this burden on the taxpayer. Well, sure as hell, yesterday, sure as there is a hell, yesterday the government bailed out AIG. And so now, listen to this, John McCain flip-flops on it. Now, I'm going to cover all sides because we always want to be fair and cover all parties involved because we want to, you know, be up the middle. But I'm just going to read to you a little bit about what McCain said and now how he's flip-flopping, and, you know, that flip-flopping came from the, was from that swift boat and John Kerry in the last election. But just listen to this. And this is according to the Huffington Post, so you know where I'm getting my information from. In Orion Township, Michigan, Republican presidential candidate John McCain, a day after flatly rejecting the idea of a taxpayer bailout for American International Group, said Wednesday that the government had been forced into proposing an $85 billion loan to the nation's largest insurer. McCain appeared to soften his opposition to the bailout proposed by the Federal Reserve, treating the plan as a necessary evil to protect ordinary Americans with the financial with financial ties to AIG, and asserting that such a financial collapse should not be allowed to happen again. He also called for an investigation to uncover any wrongdoing. The government was forced to commit $85 billion, McCain said in a statement. These actions stem from failed regulation, reckless management, and a casino culture on Wall Street that has crippled one of the most important companies in America. The focus of any such action should be to protect the millions of Americans who hold insurance policies, retirement plans, and other accounts with AIG, he added. We must not bail out the management and speculators who created this mess. I kind of agree, but let's read further. Democratic rival Barack Obama blamed the Republican anti-regulatory fervor of recent years for part of the mess, saying the crisis is a stark quote, and this is a quote, a stark reminder of the failures of crony capitalism and an economic philosophy that sees any regulation at all as unwise and unnecessary. Neither candidate said how regulation should be improved. Campaigning in Cleveland, McCain's running mate Sarah Palin expressed disappointment that the federal government needed to inject tax money into yet another financial institution. The shot that had been called by the feds is an understatement. It's understandable but very disappointing that taxpayers are called upon for one another, Palin said during a visit to a deli. Oh, that's my other phone ringing. Hold on. Can you imagine? I'm in the studio. I forgot to turn this one off. Sorry about that. Okay, I shut it off. Sorry about that, everybody. All right. Sorry about that. Let me go back to reading. Okay. McCain had a hand in economic matters as a member of the Senate Commerce Committee, which he once chaired. His campaign had noted that McCain was heavily involved in telecommunications regulation and deregulation. McCain said in an interview that he didn't want the government to bail out AIG, but there are literally millions of people whose retirement, whose investment, and whose insurance were at risk here, he said on ABC's Good Morning America. They're going to have their lives destroyed because of the greed and excess of corruption. Asked for specific examples of corruption regarding AIG, senior McCain campaign advisor Steve Schmidt offered none. In two new television ads Wednesday, which is yesterday, McCain asserts that he is the right leader to keep American savings safe. I'll meet this financial crisis head on, he said in one ad. Reform Wall Street, new rules for fairness and honesty. I won't tolerate a system that puts you and your family at risk. Your savings, your jobs, I'll keep them safe. And that's the end of that article. What do we think? You know, what do we really think about that? I don't know if McCain can safely say he can keep all of that stuff safe. I don't know if McCain can safely say that he can really do that. How can anybody offer such a guarantee in such an uncertain world? Yesterday, gold made the biggest jump in value in history. Has anybody seen these commercials? I know we have them here in the New York area where they say, mail us your gold and we'll mail you cash or we'll mail you a check. We don't care if it's broken or whatever. They're trying to get their hands on as much gold as possible. I was passing this jewelry store by an ice cream shop and they had a sign outside that said, need gas, sell your gold. Maybe they know something we don't know. I don't know. Maybe they know something that we don't know. I find it really amazing that everybody's now trying to get their hand on gold. And if things are so uncertain, how can McCain boldly say, I'm going to keep your stuff safe? That's a very lofty promise. I can't even promise to my kids I can keep them safe. So how can you get in front of us and say, I can keep you safe? That one I just... I'm sorry, my allergies. I can't buy that one. Just I can't eat that one. And then Barack had a commercial that aired that's been airing actually for the last 2 days in certain battleground states where he's sitting on a couch and he's giving this very soft and loving message. Is that kind of soft on his part? Like I need to feel comfortable that the person I cast my vote for in November is going to stand up and say, we need change, we're going to stand up for the little people, and this is how we're going to get down with the get down. And I don't feel that either one of them can actually make that happen, and I'm not sure why. It's very frustrating, and it's just very disheartening. It's really, really disheartening because we want to put our faith in something. We want to make sure that our savings, our lives are safe, that all of our investment and hard work is really, really paying off. And I just don't think anybody can really make that claim right now. But what can we do? Like I said, I've got my fantasy football or whatever this wall chart is on my wall, and I'm going to keep adding to it. I think I'm going to do today's show as part four of our economic crisis, wind down tomorrow with part five, and maybe do the blog show on Monday. Just because I really just don't want this to fall off of our radar. But on another note, I want to talk to you very quickly about Sarah Palin and how her email got hacked into. I find it quite odd that Sarah Palin's email address got hacked into. And in my research and finding, like, how can this possibly be? How can this happen? It's really because, from what I understand, someone, these hackers who are very seasoned, typed in her birthday and her zip code, which is some of the security measures that Yahoo put in place to prevent something such as this. And, of course, they had to do a couple of other things, but they got in basically by providing that information. Now, let's think about this. How many of us have our birthdays on MySpace? How many of us have our birthdays on Facebook? How many of us, do all just reveal so much information about ourselves and think nothing of it? If I have a very dear friend, let's even use my husband, for example. Just because I don't even want to use him because I live with him. But let's just use somebody else, like just one of your close friends. You know their birthday. You know their mother's maiden name. You know their kids' names. You know their first car. You know where they went to college. You know what sororities or fraternities they were in. You have so much identifying information that if you really wanted to, you could probably figure out how to hack into their stuff. I don't know why you would want to, because that doesn't make for a very good friend. But just think about it. Just think how easy that would be. Now, from what I understand, I don't think too much was revealed. Like, I don't think they found too much about her. But just the point is, the fact that they were able to get into that information. So I think that's pretty sucky. So I'm not too cool about that. But, just a couple more things, and then we're going to wind down today's show. I'm just having a short show today. Go to my blog, liferemixedradio.com, and join the blog, become a follower. There's some fun stuff on my blog today. I found pictures of a hood wedding, you know, like a quote-unquote ghetto wedding, just to kind of end today's show on a light note. Go to www.liferemixedradio, and you will see some pictures from what I would call a hood wedding. I'm not even going to give you a clue or a hint about what those pictures look like, but hit me up in an email, sb@cybrown.com, and tell me what you think about those pictures. Also, you know I'm a Project Runway girl, so I have my comments up there about last night's episode of Project Runway, and then I have a couple more really good things. You know, this blogging has become so fun for me. I was doing, you know, one post every couple of days, and now I've gotten pretty savvy. You know, I'm on this Twitter thing now, and I'm really you know, starting to blog for my cell phone anytime I see something. So it's really fun. So just check out the blog. I just want to tell you I love you for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in with me every single day at 12 noon just to kind of hear my musings and my rants and my raves and all of those good things. Just thank you so much. I love you all for listening. And never forget that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, God is. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and I'll see you right here tomorrow on liferemixradio.com at 12 noon. Peace.